This episode sponsored by Healthy Cell. Healthy Cell is different than typical supplements because it's a gel, not pills. Healthy Cell uses microgel technology, which is clinically proven to absorb 165% better than traditional pills. That means your body actually uses the nutrients, so you can feel the difference. And instead of swallowing a handful of vitamins, one great-tasting gel pack can replace up to 18 pills. Healthy Cell formulas are created by physicians and nutritionists to support energy, focus, immune health, and overall wellness. If you're going to take vitamins, they should actually work. Healthy Cell. Reach your potential.
Welcome to the 12th Man Rising Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Here's your hosts, Lee Vowell and Todd Vandenberg.
And welcome to the 12th Man Rising Podcast. Almost said broadcast, like we're live or something. I'm Lee, and that's Todd, and we have Andrew Bailey back, thankfully, to actually bring some brevity and levity to the show. So, Andrew, how are you doing?
It's great to be here. I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing okay. So, I looked at ESPN today, and John Schneider appears to have signed you as a left guard. Even though I don't think you're none of us are big enough to play left guard in the NFL, but it looks like just out of sheer need to sign an offensive lineman, you are the latest $1 million a year. That's not too bad. So, let's just start with the offensive line in all seriousness. It looks atrocious right now. Correct. I think Brady Henderson mentioned this week of ESPN mentioned this week that he thinks the Seahawks will sign a veteran guard like Laken Tomlinson or something. What do you think needs to happen with this offensive line? It can't stay the way it is. Correct.
Yeah, I don't see them keeping the offensive line in its current form. I believe they need to add to it. And I believe using the draft or finding another player like Laken Tomlinson who can play guard would be a good idea for them to make for this offseason. Yeah.
Today, as we're recording this anyway, is Washington's pro day. So there's a certain player for the University of Washington that would make a very good fit along the offensive line. Obviously, he may or may not be there. Pick 16 if they stick with that pick instead of trading back. But are there besides this person that I'm talking about in general, who would you have as your top guards to be drafted by the Seahawks?
Not Ankrum, that's for sure. I get why they picked the guy up as a backup, but.
If he's a backup,
if he makes the roster, yeah, that's another issue, right? But to me, and to most people, it's like the first pick has to be a guard. The second pick probably has to be a guard because they have one guard, and he was iffy. Yeah. In essence, really, they have one guard, right? Bradford. And he was like, I wouldn't say he was shaky because he's a rookie. And he'll probably be fine, but that's one. You don't need one guard. You don't need two guards. You need four. And Fant can move over to play guard. Center. Yeah, exactly.
No offense to your guy from Michigan.
But Fant might be pretty busy filling in for Abe Lucas. So, plus that's not his profession. So I like Christian Haynes. And obviously he's not going to be their first pick. That's their one saving grace is guard, specifically players who play guard in college. And of course, it's much more likely that they probably will go in the first round and go after a guy who played tackle and can also play
like Fautano.
Guard.
Yeah.
Like Fautano. Right. Like if they draft Fautano with their first pick, sticking at 16, hell yeah, I'm happy because that's what they need.
He's a perfect fit too because Scott Huff, the offensive line coach at UW, he's coming into Seattle, so it'd be perfect to just bring Fautano straight up from UW and have him play for Huff again.
Exactly right. The question is What do they do if, I don't know, one of the top quarterbacks is there, right? Do they need a quarterback in the first round? No. But weird things happen, right? We've seen that over and over and over. What if Jaden Daniels is there? What if Drake May falls to 16? That would be insane, but insane things happen in the draft. Like Schneider says, you have to keep aware of what's going on because things happen in the draft. You never know what's going to happen. You never know who's going to fall down there. And he's made it clear that early on, they draft for the best person available at that position. They're looking at the best athlete at that position, regardless of their need. And when he said early on, he basically said, it's like, we start filling needs like in the sixth round and seventh.
Yeah.
Which is like, not this time. I was like, you better look at need a little sooner than that.
I think that's what he was referring to, right? Is this year he was definitely going to stick with the same strategy. He wasn't going to start. Which,
that's what he said, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, means, if you wait until the sixth round to get a guard, are you crazy? You can't do that. And of course, he could just be saying that because, yeah, I'm going to say that.
I thought that too, but I'm like, what are you really giving away if you're saying, yeah, we think we might take this guard? I mean, it's a guard. Whereas, like, hey, we might move up for, you know, a receiver, a quarterback or something.
Well, but if he takes one of the top tackles, because if you're looking at Mahogany, for example, is like, yeah, no one's going to, like, I'm going to move up and steal him away from the Hawks. No one cares about that. But, for instance, it's like, I'm sure we've all run a lot of mock drafts, right? And I've run about 40. It was like a lot of my toss because they turn out to be garbage because I'm stupid. But twice, Joe Alt has fallen down to 16. Didn't even have to move up to get him. And we're not talking about someone moving to guard, but maybe you put him in at tackle and move somebody else to guard because, dude.
But then it's almost like you have too many, because you got Lucas and Fant. No, yeah. I know you're not making that argument. And I can see the argument for, again, if we're going to the best player available, Alt makes sense, right? But it's like you don't need a tackle. I mean, if assuming Lucas is healthy, which is not a great safe assumption, but if he is, then he's the right tackle. And Charles absolutely. Cross is the left tackle. And Fant can play either one and do both fairly well. So you're covered. But if Lucas isn't healthy, which is my guess going forward, is that he's healthy for maybe half a season every season, and you've got Fant, who's really the starter, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Then you still don't really have a place to put – you can't draft a tackle because you still don't have a place to put him. I mean, you shouldn't anyway.
Although you shouldn't, but then what did they do last year? Did we need a cornerback?
I don't know.
You know, they didn't need a cornerback, although it turned out they did.
Was there a draft last year? I don't even remember. Did they take anyone?
So, you know, it's iffy. But, yeah, they've got to address guard. They have to. Because they have one guy, and he was like, he's pretty good. He could, and Bradford could turn out to be fantastic. Absolutely could.
Yeah, he could. In the second season, he could. But especially as Stranger pointed out, with a new offensive line coach, he could definitely be better.
Absolutely. And I picture he will be better, but he's still one guy. He can't, like, I'm going to jump over on the other side of the center.
Why not? I mean, if he's a great player, he could do that. He could hold all five places down on his own. That's what he should do.
He's the Peyton Manning of guards. Peyton Manning would tell him to do it and make him do it, probably. But, yeah, so, yeah, regardless of his
Gotta get Bradford off the field. He keeps shouting Omaha. It's like, don't snap.
Regardless of his mantra of like best player available, is like you better get some guards, brother, and good guards, not like patchwork stuff. And it's like, okay, we'll get this guy who, like, he's been a backup for 3 years for another team, but we're gonna turn into a starter. That usually doesn't work. Maybe with Scott Huff it will, right?
Maybe,
but you can't depend on that.
What would you do, Andrew? What would you do in the first round if you were John Schneider?
I would trade back. If Troy Fatano is not there, or Jackson Powers, I think that's the name of the guy from Oregon. If either of those aren't there and they don't like the defensive linemen that are there, I don't see a reason for them to use that pick there. And I believe knowing John, he'll probably think of, you know, 13 or 14 different guys that he really likes. And if neither of them are there at that spot, I think he just trades back because we don't have a second round pick. So they got to do something to add more draft capital, especially after trading for Sam Howell. They gave up a third round pick to get him. So he's going to have to do something to get more draft capital. And that might have to happen for their first round selection. And also, if they, you know, aren't sold on the quarterbacks at that spot, they could always bring back.
I think you're breaking up, unfortunately, quite a bit. I'm not on my end. I don't know if he is on your end, Todd.
Yeah, the same. I heard the same thing. I know you mentioned something about maybe drafting a quarterback. What was that again, Andrew? My thing is, like, I don't know if John Schneider is capable of drafting, of, like, trading down. It's like, I don't think he's ever done that in draft before. he does that, and, like, over and over and over. And it's like, I think one of the reasons that they re-signed a couple players that were kind of a surprise, like Daryl Taylor and
Lawrence Taylor.
Lawrence Taylor probably could still outplay Daryl Taylor. At least that stopping run.
We traded for the Carolina guy, but we thought it was Taylor, not Howell. But anyway, we got this guy.
But yeah, I totally agree with you, Andrew. It's like that, unless there's like, oh my God, we got to take this guy at 16. I totally see him moving back. And it's like, and you know, it depends on how much, because McDonald made it clear that he really likes the potential of Taylor. Unfortunately, the draft comes before he can really figure out what Taylor can do. But I can totally see them trading Taylor because, and just emphasizing.
Releasing him.
Consistent.
They could still release. I agree. I think they kind of want to see
him. Yeah, they can release him. He's cost them $20,000.
Exactly.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
yeah, even if it gets to be cut down day and they could release him, and I think they're okay with edge rusher.
He's gone. Unless he actually shows out and shows it's like he can consistently play something other than rush the passer, he's gone, because it's $3 million against the cap. That's ridiculous for like a part time player who
you
does
mean like
one
when they, in practice when they're handing the ball to Walker and he starts running and Taylor's like, wait, what? What's this plan? I've never seen this before. What's happening? What should I do?
Apparently. Which is weird because he didn't play like that at Tennessee. Anyway, that's a major divergence. But I can see them trading him to a team who would like really take a shot at a guy who does have the capability to be the great edge rusher. And, you know, McDonald obviously can sell that. And they can sell it because, like, look, like we re-signed the guy. And even for more than, right? So they can push it and work the angle and they can move him and get a little draft cap a lot of it. I can see that happening. But
maybe. I just don't know what you'd be able to get for him. I mean, it would be like a sixth or seventh round pick, maybe.
Well,
because other teams can might get him and be like, what? You know, they'd have to know.
According to Pro Football Focus, you can actually get a lot for him if you combine it with other draft picks, which is what you got to do. You'd have to. Like, you're not going to get anything.
You can get a whole lot for Daryl Taylor if you also do the trade with DK Metcalf. You can get a whole lot.
Yeah, I can tell you, according to Pro Football Focus, and if you set, you know, you don't adjust it to be stupid, because if you adjust it to be stupid, yeah, you can get like a first round pick. But if you adjust it to be like normal, you literally will get nothing for Daryl Taylor on his own. Like nothing.
Yeah, I can. I can see that.
With other picks, right? But he does add value, and, you know, you maybe trade next year's third and Taylor and a late round pick, and you can move into the second this year. Like, is that realistic? I don't know, but Pro Football Focus thinks it is, so I'm going to go with that. But regardless, yeah, I totally see them, unless there's like, oh, we got to have this guy. And you know, again, if they have like a dream player, even like on the defensive line, like, which is not obviously as important as guard, but, you know, if Byron Murphy is there at 16, they're taking Byron Murphy. I mean, there's no doubt about that, right? But
maybe
if he's not there, or, you know, someone similar, right, then they have to move back because, like you said, Andrew, they've got to have draft capital. They have to. Like, they've got too many positions in need. Even at corner. I mean, they have a million corners, but, you know, if Kool-Aid is there, actually, I don't like Kool-Aid that much. And I mean the player, not the beverage. But not for the Seahawks to take him, because that's not a position in need.
Gosh, no.
Obviously. But.
No, they're four deep at cornerback. If everybody, you know, don't maximize their complete production, I mean, they're still solid with Trey Brown and Mike Jackson. And Rick Woolen's got to bounce back under McDonald, right?
And yeah, and I think
some guy named Devin.
And the thing is, like, people are so down on Reek, and it's like, it's not that he had a bad season; it's that compared to his first season, it was bad. It's like he was decent. But he was phenomenal as a rookie, and it's like, okay, like, absolutely this guy's going to bounce back. But,
what are your hopes for Daryl Taylor, Andrew?
For Daryl Taylor, I believe I would just like to see Mike McDonald go out there and be able to turn him into the player that John Snyder wants him to be. And he just hasn't been that quite yet, but he's getting there. He's had a couple good seasons where he's, you know, had a lot of sacks. It's just the consistency hasn't quite been there.
Yeah, and he's got to improve as far as a run stopper and tackling.
And McDonald has obviously a track record of taking guys who are like, meh, they're okay, they're NFL players, and turning them into like, holy cow, this guy's a Pro Bowl alternate or starting in the Pro Bowl. So if anybody can do it, it's McDonald for sure.
Mike McDonald. I think he has the talent. One of the things that worries me about this defense is that you have so many new faces. How long is it going to take them to actually acclimate to each other, like the linebackers? Jerome Baker, I mean, he seems like, I don't know if we've seen the best of him. Tyrell Dotson, you never know. We've only seen him one full year. You know, he had some issues coming into the league, and then, you know, he's been a backup because they've had good linebackers, not because he couldn't play. But he was really good when he got the chance to play last year in Buffalo. So it kind of makes you wonder what's going to happen. But Leonard Williams has to stay healthy. Jaron Reed has to, I don't know. They have to get younger. So, I mean, maybe that's, as you mentioned, Byron Murphy. They have to get younger along the defensive line, even moving forward, because you don't want to be like, okay, well, they were good, but now they're all old. We got to draft two or three defensive linemen in this draft. Whereas you get Murphy early, but I agree with Andrew. I think they'll trade back. My other concern is that we saw in free agency that the tendency to wait to sign draft or free agents was not a Pete Carroll thing, but a John Schneider thing. And then when they finally did start signing players, I'm not still sold on most of the players they signed. Even Rashawn Jenkins, safety, is like, I guess he's an improvement over Jamal Adams, I guess, if nothing else. You have to hope Love is even better, and I think he will be. I mean, then Quandre Diggs, maybe he'll even come back. But I'm just Kayvon Wallace. I'm just not really sold. So even though I think there's going to be a tendency again in the draft, because it seems to be a Schneider thing as far as trading back, I hope the plan is there and that he's not like Carroll had final roster say, right? So in free agency, maybe they wanted to wait to sign free agents, but then Carroll was like, okay, well, I like this one. And, you know, love him or hate him, they were really successful with Pete Carroll making those decisions for the most part of 14 years. So when it gets to be the draft, I'm hoping he doesn't okay, I'm going to trade back because that's what we do. We got extra picks. Yay. And then you overthink about who you're taking. That's my biggest worry going into the draft. Andrew, is there any player that you would not, or a couple of players you wouldn't draft if they were available, like in the first round for the Seahawks?
As far as players that I wouldn't draft, I would stay away. Probably stay away from Penix. Probably taking him early because I mean, if you trade back and get him in the later in the first round, I think that's a good thing, but I think if they take him at 16, I think that might be a little bit of a risk, considering that they do have other needs and they already have Geno Smith and they just traded for Sam Howell. I like Mike Penix. I love what he did at the University of Washington. I just think taking him that early might be a mistake.
Yeah, the thing with Howell is like you could theoretically release him, right? You wouldn't lose that much money if they did choose a quarterback. But then at the same time, it's like, well, why would you trade a partially a third round pick for him? That doesn't make any sense. And you just wasted a third round pick. It doesn't make any sense. And you're not saving any money. You're actually losing money by taking quarterback in the first round than you would if you kept Howell.
Yeah, that's I totally agree. I like Penix, but not in the first round. No way. Particularly because of their position, right? They've got Geno, and despite the fact that some 12s think that Geno plays quarterback about as well as I would, I don't know what games they've been watching, but good Lord, that's a different topic. That's like eight podcasts on its own.
And which we've already done. See, we can just replay record and then.
Yeah. So yeah, there's no way they should take. I don't even care if it's Caleb Williams. It's like you don't take a quarterback with your first pick, because they're fine at quarterback. They're solid at quarterback. If Howell has to step in, it's like okay, I'm okay. I'd rather have Geno there. There's not a competition for QB1, as everyone has made clear on the team. But there were four other teams in trying to get Howell, according to everything Schneider is saying. It's like, and for good reason.
And one of them was the Broncos, supposedly.
Which is pretty funny, right? Yeah. They don't. But moving back, like you said, if they trade back, like Andrew said, is like, then, yeah, if he's there later, then okay. But he's still not my first pick. Again, they need guards. Quarterback is one of their least needs. If something weird happens,
they take a wide receiver. It's like, no, we don't.
Yeah, exactly. It's like our corner, right? Those are the two positions they absolutely would be insane to take. I don't care who it is. Yeah. That would be stupid.
Or in running back.
Running backs. Running backs, you definitely don't take in the first round either. That's a bigger position in need than wide receiver corner, but barely. Maybe. Just because they get injured so much, that's all. Especially with the Seahawks. But, yeah, it's like, take a running back like in the fourth or fifth round.
Yeah. Not another one in the second round. I mean, I like Walker and Charbonnet, and I think McIntosh, you know, we didn't see him last year, and Todd and I were both really high on him because, you know, he played at Georgia, and we see a lot of Georgia football. And I think he's going to be now he'll have this year to actually step up into that third role, because they normally keep three running backs active on game day. So he should be that third back. They don't need. But
yeah,
if you're going to take one in the fourth round.
Yeah, it's going to be late. I mean, there's only a couple running backs even like projected to go in the second round this year. So it's like no way. But I know we've beaten it to death, but obviously they have to work on the interior line, offensive line. But, you know, if Penix falls to the third round and you've already taken a guard or a tackle you can move over in the second, then absolutely I'd take him. But, yeah, first round, that wouldn't be a disaster, because I think he'll be fine in the NFL. But there's a lot of question marks regarding him, and you don't freaking need him compared to what else you need.
I wrote an article about Zach Zinter. I don't know. This week or something, and I can't keep track, but I got some feedback, like, because I had them taking Zach Zinter in like the third round, and somebody was like, I guess if you want to overreach, I'm like, overreach third round for Zach Zinter? Like, you need a guard. That guy, if he wasn't hurt, he probably is going second or first round.
That's the thing.
What's wrong with people?
Yeah, most things have been projected later, but it's like, what do you need?
I know. It's not like Lee Vowell a few years ago saying they should draft LJ Collier, which they did.
Yeah.
At least I got a shout out from Seattle Sports. Or it wasn't even Seattle Sports then, right? It was just 7:10 a.m.
This episode sponsored by HealthyCell. HealthyCell is different than typical supplements because it's a gel, not pills. HealthyCell uses microgel technology, which is clinically proven to absorb 165% better than traditional pills. That means your body actually uses the nutrients, so you can feel the difference. And instead of swallowing a handful of vitamins, one great-tasting gel pack can replace up to 18 pills. HealthyCell formulas are created by physicians and nutritionists to support energy, focus, immune health, and overall wellness. If you're going to take vitamins, they should actually work. Healthy Cell. Reach your potential.
Good Lord.
Anywho, so if you, if any player is available at number 16, Andrew, we'll let you go after this. Any player besides quarterback is available at number 16, who is your dream pick for the Seahawks?
You said any quarterback?
Not a quarterback.
Any player.
Well, yeah, any player, non-quarterback, because they don't need a quarterback. Player. I mean, if Drake May's there and they want to have a couple Carolina guys and release Geno Smith and lose money, that's fine. But
a lot of
that's
money.
That's just me being a homer. But.
I actually think if J.J. McCarthy is there at 16, I would take him because he's been moving up a lot of the boards. And I believe just his knowledge of football and just how he's just a good young prospect, too, because he's younger than a lot of these other quarterbacks. Most of these quarterbacks are older because they had the COVID senior year. Like Penix is going to be 24 before next year. I believe Bo Nix is also going to be 24 before next season. Mm-hmm. So, you know, J.J. McCarthy, he's only like 21. He could learn underneath these two young quarterbacks or a young quarterback and a veteran quarterback in Geno Smith. And I think he could really learn a lot from them. And also, he has experience playing with Mike McDonald at the University of Michigan. So I feel if he's there or if Byron Murphy is there or Troy Fatano is there, those are the three that I think if either one of those three is there, I take either one of those three if they're available. But I think if none of those guys are there and they don't like, you know, Jerzon Newton or Jared Verse or Leatu Latu, who's also another really good defensive lineman, if none of those, I mean, if they don't really like those three, and John Snyder's like, ah, those guys are probably more like day two guys. I don't really think that, don't think much of them. Then, you know, he can trade back then and see where to go from there.
Awesome. Well, and yeah, I mean, if they pick McCarthy, it's I'm a fan either way. I'm a Seahawks fan, so if they choose a quarterback, then I'm going to be a fan of that quarterback. So Todd would like that as well. He's a Michigan guy. So
I would really like
McCarthy specifically, I guess.
Yeah, McCarthy is like, that's the guy I would take of all these quarterbacks. And I know most people would say you're stupid because I hear that a lot in daily life. But yeah, I would take McCarthy over any of these guys for all the reasons Andrew gave. I mean, this guy is going to be, I picture he's going to be awesome in the NFL. Yeah. But again, because of the needs. For me, it's like the guy that I would take would be Brock Bowers if he falls.
Did you say Brock
to
16. Heward? Brock Heward?
Yes, Brock Heward. I would definitely
super
take
nice Brock Heward. Just for his niceness.
Kickbacks, that's why. Anyway.
I don't think Brock Bowers is going to be there, though.
I don't think he is either.
Probably taken in the top 12, I would think.
Yeah, probably. That's part of the
great tight end.
Part of the fun of the draft, though,
like
right?
Six or seven. Yeah, but you never know. It's like weird things happen.
Yeah, there's going to be some player that falls, and there's going to be some player that goes higher, and you're just like, what am I watching? This is weird.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and then you've got a guy from Letterkenny coming. Anyway, so Andrew, thanks for being on. It's always we'll definitely try to have you on before the draft as well. So like in a few weeks, if you're good with that.
Yeah, I'm good with that. thank you for having me on again. I enjoy coming on here and talking in Seahawks with you guys. It's great.
Yeah, awesome. We'll have an excellent rest of the day. Thanks.
Yeah, you too. Bye bye.
Andrew was the best. Now. The average intelligence of the podcast drafts dropped by like what 30 points, 45 points, something like that.
I get what he's saying about McCarthy. I just don't see I don't see a need for a third quarterback because they're even Geno Smith's contract is fairly, you know, what's the word? Not efficient, but for a starting quarterback in the NFL, he's not overpaid. And the same
exactly. House,
cheaply paid. So you would never seem to get rid of Howell. There's just no reason for that.
No.
Either financially or whatever.
Yeah, like like you said, it's like it would cost them money to get rid of Howell, which is
and Smith too at this point, which means you'd have to keep three quarterbacks on the roster.
Yeah, what you're looking at
all times
would be next year, 2025. What happens? So 2025,
Dak Prescott,
obviously. That's,
I mean, I just wrote an, I just post literally posted whatever day you're listening to this. I just posted an article about CBS Sports, guy there saying that that's Dak Prescott could be one of the landing spots next. I was like, no offense to that guy. I mean, he probably knows football better than I do. He probably had whatever. He's probably smarter than I am, better looking. He's younger, whatever. Not Dak Prescott, the writer for CBS Sport, although Dak Prescott is all those things as well. But it doesn't make you would have no knowledge of what the Seahawks normally do in free agency. John Schneider's not going to suddenly be like, oh, a quarterback. Okay, I'll spend $50 million on this guy. Like, no, that's not going to happen. And why would you want Prescott anyway? No offense to him. He's a fine quarterback, but he's 2-5 in the postseason. He'll be 32 mm-hmm. years old in the 2025 mm-hmm. season when it starts. He's an injury risk.
We've seen these articles over and over and over, basically, right? It's like, oh, they should get this quarterback who's been around forever, this quarterback who's been around forever. And it's like, if they wanted that quarterback, they would have kept Russell Wilson for the same money.
Yeah, and they could have drafted 53-year-old Stetson Bennett and gone from there.
What are you missing? I don't understand why we get these articles every once in a while. It's bizarre. So, for that reason, I mean, I get Andrew's point. It's like, if you're looking at, and obviously that's what you're looking at is next year, because the next year you've got McCarthy who's sitting there learning, being mentored by Geno Smith. Geno Smith is gone next year. Next year it's a competition between McCarthy, right? Goodness.
Well, if you draft a quarterback in the first round, there should be no competition next year. I mean, this year, yeah, but next year there's like that guy has mm-hmm. to start. Unless Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love, and that's
exactly they don't have that. But you know, you never know what's going to happen, right? You never know what's going to happen. It's like, what if the guy that you traded for next to nothing, it turns out he really is good. And you don't know that right now. I mean, you assume he's going to be good, but you don't have any concept of what's going to happen. For instance, theoretically, they draft McCarthy, right? They move back, and he's still there in the second round, which almost certainly won't happen at this point because, like Andrew said, he's moving up. It's like
he may not be there at 16, most likely.
Yeah, exactly, because most things have him moving up to the second quarterback taken. But
yeah, which is ridiculous. He went from nowhere to, like, I'm the second pick in the draft. It's insane.
Yeah, which is crazy. And like Schneider said, crazy things happen in the draft. Like you were just saying, it's like people move up, people drop down. You never know what's going to happen. So let's say they pick McCarthy, right? And they pick, okay, he's their guy. And he's our quarterback of the future. We love Sam Howell. That's why we got him, but let's see. But what if Geno is injured this season? Jinx myself right there.
Watch your mouth.
Sam Howell comes in, plays lights out. Lights out. You know, he plays 10 games. He throws 27 touchdowns, 11 picks. Like, the guy's phenomenal. The guy is what they thought he would be coming out of college. Better than what he thought he'd be coming out of college, right? Like, okay, then what are you going to do? Like, you're not going to start McCarthy over him next year just because it's like, well, we drafted him number one. And I know that's not your point, and that likely would not happen, right? But, you know, then it's like, okay, did you waste the pick? It's like, no, because then you can trade Sam Howell. In 2026.
It's like an Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes situation in that scenario. Yeah,
and it happens.
It does.
So, you know, it's like it wouldn't be a wasted pick because now all of a sudden Howell has immense trade value, right? And boom. So then you move him and then you go.
Yeah, best case scenario. I still can't get over them keeping three. They'd have to keep three quarterbacks actually on the roster.
And they wouldn't. And they wouldn't because there's no point.
Right.
Because they've got arguably, and then a lot of people
this is of course exactly trash. What they're gonna do, by the way, we're talking
of course
we're like, it's like
arguably they have like
different way. It's like, oh, okay, that's exactly what they did.
At least one of the best backups in the league now. So
Sam Howell,
yeah
I would think so for sure.
And like, he came from a trash offensive system. It's like sacks are always partly the quarterback's fault, right? Always. It's not all on the offensive line.
And Howell did hold on to the ball too long in the first part. And he was a rookie last year, really. I mean, he was a second year, but he was really a rookie.
Right.
So he's kind of having to learn on the job against the – I'm going to give you the worst offensive line. I'm going to give you the Seahawks 2024 offensive line, but just put it in Washington. Maybe that's why they added him. They're like, we're basically going to have Washington's offensive line from last year. Let's go ahead and trade for Sam Howell.
Because he's used to it.
That's right. He'll know what to do.
He'll take 60 sacks and think, this is paradise.
That's right. Well, we know we're going to score 21 times. So, just so.
Anyway, yeah, it's – this is – the most the most fascinating draft we've had, because this is the most for the same reason it's the most fascinating season overall in over a decade, right? Because everything is so new.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pete Carroll isn't running the team. John Schneider's running the team. We're going to find out how much of the draft's past, the acumen and things like getting Malik McDowell, which, you know, the guy was injured before he ever had a shot, right? So it's not exactly like, oh, we knew he was going to do that and we took him anyway.
Didn't know he was injured, but he did have character issues.
Yeah, exactly. And then when he was healthy, he turned out to be nothing anyway. So as an NFL player, let me stress that. So but how much of that was Pete? How much of that was Pete and how much of that was Schneider? So now we're going to find out, okay, is Schneider really that good at the draft? Which is... to me, that completely aside from how invested we are in the Seahawks' success, that's a fascinating question. It's like, okay, did he make good decisions and Pete overruled him in the past? Or was Pete the guy who made the good decisions? We'll find out, right?
Yeah.
It sounds from what he's saying that at least half of that was Schneider. We'll find out. And McDonald is like, they're changing the... I mean, not so much the culture of the team, but definitely the scheme and the style. Personally, I think the safeties are going to work out much better than what you're projecting. Because, again, I think it's the package individually is like, meh, they're interesting players. But I think combined, and like you said, with Jenkins, is like he had a better season than Adams or Diggs last season.
So yeah, well, my projection was they're all so bad they go without safeties. So that was...
And I think, and as you've mentioned, and I've mentioned, everybody on the planet has mentioned, is like he played more three safety sets than anybody. And the Seahawks had planned to do that a lot anyway. But even then, the Ravens played more three safety sets, so he needs three safeties.
And it would have been a better scheme for the three safety sets in Baltimore anyway, because
McDonald's. Oh, for sure. And he's bringing in players who are more adept at moving between free safety and strong safety, between moving deep and bot, and like Schneider said, they're going to play more two deep and split safeties than they had in the past, because especially now, that's why they're looking at personnel who can do that. It's like all three of those guys actually played quite a bit in the slot and even at corner.
He's great with designing, and that's one reason he doesn't blitz that much, because he's not going to blitz very much, but he's great at designing or disguising, I guess, the scheme, because you don't know exactly who's going to be where even before the snap. So that's where you just want the offense is kind of having to readjust to what the defense is going to have to do, at least for a split second. So that's why there's no reason to blitz. One thing I do want to point out, Andrew mentioned this, and I've written about this, and it's really not ultimately true, is that while Mike McDonald was at Michigan for 1 year when J.J. McCarthy was there, McCarthy wasn't the starter that year. So it's not like any McDonald obviously didn't coach the offense. So while there's not a ton of interaction between them, because even in practice, he's not mostly going up against McCarthy in practice. So he knows he's a coach. He's a great football coach. So he's going to know weaknesses and strengths, but he's not going to have like as much hands-on experience with that as most people might think, like Penix would be with Ryan Grubb, for instance.
Oh, and nothing like that. Yeah. But I picture McCarthy probably ran the opposing team's offense, right, coming up. So he probably saw him in those situations. Still nothing like what he would have seen.
He wouldn't get that many reps. Right, exactly. I mean, still not going to get that many snaps. Nothing I mean, it's still college, too. So it's not like you're having as much, well, now probably. But NFL has a lot more ability to do things in practices than college. College, you're still limited to there's classes and stuff. But I agree. I mean, if McCarthy, if they need a quarterback, absolutely J.J. McCarthy looks like he's a seems to be a good kid. He definitely seems to be smart, handles himself well, has a great mentality for being a starting quarterback, and people seem to rally around him. I think he'd be a great fit in Seattle. They just don't need a quarterback.
Exactly.
And again, they will take him because I'm saying this. They'll take only quarterbacks in this draft. It'll be seven quarterbacks.
Yeah, and doing some of the mocks is like I'm at the fifth round or even the fourth round sometimes. It's like players like, they're looking at Spencer Rattler, right? They're talking to him. Or Jordan Travis is like, that's a wasted pick because of their quarterback situation. Because the quarterback and because of it's like you need guards. It's like you can get a really good guard. Instead of a really like Joe Milton, would you take Joe Milton
take Joe Milton? There's a
60-70% chance he can plug this guy in and he can play guard. It's like there's no way in hell.
Joe Milton? Yeah, he might be a better fit at guard. He's good enough.
He's 235. He can slap on another 80 pounds.
I agree because even if they take Spencer Rattler in say round 6, round 5, if he falls that far, which he easily could. This is the same issue if you take a quarterback in round 1. You don't have a spot for him. Right. So why are you wasting a pick on him?
Exactly.
But I can't see them going John Schneider's first draft, having full roster control, him already saying he's not proud of the fact the team's only drafted two quarterbacks since 2010.
Which is a weird statement anyway.
Because one of them was Russell Wilson. I'm sorry.
I know. It's like, did you forget who one of those picks was? It's like, John, what are you talking about?
You have a quarterback who starts every game for a decade and is the best quarterback in franchise. I mean, it's a weird thing. Yeah, I agree. It's a weird thing to say because it's like you're not proud of the fact, but you didn't need one. You had the greatest quarterback in franchise history, Russell Wilson.
And you had good backups.
Yeah, I mean, and they were smart with the backups. I mean, Geno Smith has been the backup since 2019, right? Yeah. It's like, before he became the starter, but he was with the team.
Right.
And how many he played, you look at his Pro Football Reference, it's like, oh, did he not play? No, he didn't play because Russell Wilson was the quarterback. It's like, it was a weird thing to say. He should have said.
Why didn't he play before that? Oh, because he was behind Eli. He didn't play because he had Hall of Famers ahead of him, even another team. It's like that's why he was a backup, a career backup, as some of his detractors say.
Yeah, but besides that, even the not proud of, it's because
That was odd.
And he should have, the not proud of, which is exactly what he said, which is just weird because he should have said, we didn't need a quarterback.
It's like we had weird circumstances. That's why we only drafted two.
Yeah, exactly. He had weird.
We were lucky enough to have a Hall of Famer.
Bill Belichick like saying, "Hey, I'm not proud of the fact I only drafted two quarterbacks in 15 years." It's like, I had a guy named Tom Brady on the team. He didn't need.
Yeah.
I mean, they did. They did draft quarterbacks. So Jimmy Garoppolo thing was weird, but even then, it was like they didn't need to draft a quarterback, and they will draft a quarterback in this draft. My feeling is because of him making that statement. But it's just kind of a wasted pick. You've got, as you said. Other needs. Take three guards in this draft if you have to.
Yeah, they may take like in the seventh. Like, are they interviewing Plumlee out of UCF? I think they're interviewing Plumlee, right?
They brought him in for a visit. My understanding is he's got a good chance of not because anyway. I mean he seems like a good kid too, but he's not really a proven quarterback. He's better baseball.
Yeah, exactly. More of an undrafted free agent. But
they'll sign him to the practice squad. I think that's the hope, and that's why they're looking at him.
Yeah, if they take him and he's there in the seventh and they've addressed their needs, that makes perfect sense to me. Fine, you really want that guy. Okay, fine, take him. If Sam Hartman,
traded enough during the draft and they've ended up with like 10 or 11 picks instead of the 7 they have now, then yeah, pick a quarterback. No, I mean, which they've done before, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we started with four picks and we ended up with 18 somehow. So,
but it makes no sense to get someone like Spencer Rattler, Jordan Travis is like that. Absolutely a wasted pick. Absolutely a wasted pick because of what they need. That is, they don't need a cornerback. They don't need. They need a running back, but like fifth or sixth round, maybe. right?
Maybe, but they only dress three per game, so you've got the three. If Mac
and you've got the three, McIntosh, like you can pick up another. And running backs get hurt, so it's like, yeah, I definitely want another quarterback.
Seahawks have never had a running back get hurt, never.
But they
you can look it up.
They can pick one up in not free agency, obviously. Now, let's talk about free agency briefly, because they have like what, 2.6 million. And as you mentioned, that's. Am I really?
The what?
Free agency. So
what's that? I don't even remember the last thing I said. You're like, you're reacting, and I'm like, I'm sorry. I was like, I don't know. What did I say? Who knows? Yeah, and
but free it's so agency, malleable, like you said.
Yeah. Or fungible. That's a more fun word to say.
That doesn't. It's mushroomy. Because that doesn't matter until the season actually starts.
True.
That's when the cap hits. That's when the cap really matters. It doesn't matter now. It's like they could be $10 million over the cap now. I'm like, okay, fine. Like you don't want to be, because then you got to make some really weird decisions. That's one of the reasons why I think Mr. Taylor's gone, because he counts $3 million against the cap. And it's like, unless, hey, if McDonald can get him the most out of him, like Andrew was saying, hell yeah, I'm all for it. That would be fantastic. Like I would love the fact if this guy from Tennessee, who is awesome at the University of Tennessee, finally pans out and shows that, yes, he can play the run. He understands what to do. Like you said, if K-9 is in front of him and is like, I don't recognize what this play is. I'm like, oh, I got to tackle the guy. I can't drop my hips and do it, but I got to tackle the guy. You know, it's like if he can finally fulfill his potential, one of the worst words ever in the English language, and play like we all thought he would play, that would be awesome. And he's a bargain at $3 million. But if he plays like he has in his entire career for the Seahawks, you can find a guy who can get 5.5, 6 sacks. You can find a guy who can get 9 sacks a game. Not 9 sacks a game. That would be awesome. 9 sacks a season and only do it in like 5 games, because that's what he does. That's his best season. He shows up for 6 games and he's awesome. Except even in those games, he doesn't play the run.
No. Yeah, he doesn't set a hard edge. I don't
like... $3 million is a big chunk of money that would get you a pretty nice guard. So he's gone unless he really, really shows something that he can do. But for now, it doesn't matter.
True. Like, it doesn't matter. And like, some of that money's the practice squad and signing draft picks as well.
Yeah, the draft picks is like, what, $6.7, $6.8 million is allocated. And that's just for the current draft picks. And like you said, they're going to move around. I'm sure they're going to add money. They're going to move down in the draft.
It actually helps them move down, right? Because it's less money because of the slot.
But if they get a lot more players, then it's going to wind up being a little more. But still, it's like figure 6.5, 7 million just for that. But they don't have to have it right now. They only have to have it at the beginning of the season. And that's how they address it. You're going to lose people. Some people that you might have just picked up. Ankrum, he might be gone, right? It's not a lot of money, but if it's $1 million, it's $1 million. So it just depends on what they get in the draft.
Yeah.
But the cap, like right now they have the lowest cap in the league. It's like, whatever.
That's why I'm saying if they only draft quarterbacks, they save money, because most of those guys aren't going to make the team. If one of them makes the team, that's the only guy you have to pay. It just makes financial sense.
Yes, it does. And there's so many companies who would think that way. Boeing, that is a plan. If Boeing ran the Seahawks, that's exactly what they would do. They would be looking at the bottom line and thinking, you know what? Let's draft 7 quarterbacks, because we'll save $6 million doing it.
That's right.
It's bigly, the team will be terrible, successful. But you know what? Who cares?
That's right. So, that's our show. Thanks for listening.
Why are you the worst?
This episode sponsored by HealthyCell. HealthyCell is different than typical supplements because it's a gel, not pills. HealthyCell uses microgel technology, which is clinically proven to absorb 165% better than traditional pills. That means your body actually uses the nutrients, so you can feel the difference. And instead of swallowing a handful of vitamins, one great-tasting gel pack can replace up to 18 pills. Healthy cell formulas are created by physicians and nutritionists to support energy, focus, immune health, and overall wellness. If you're going to take vitamins, they should actually work. Healthy cell. Reach your potential.